Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? Thanks for calling.
Not too bad now. So, you know, we're a radio station in County Roscommon, and we'll be, I suppose, broadcasting your show that you do in New York. So if you want to maybe tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself.
Well, I actually was born in Athlone, but I lived in O'Hara. My mother was from O'Hara. My father was from Corraboy. And they wound up living in O'Hara, in the very last house in O'Hara. If our next door neighbours lived in a Crockery parish, and our next door neighbours went to Ballymurray School, but we went to O'Hara.
Oh, right, lovely.
And I write poetry. I just wrote a poem about that strange situation where next door neighbours have to go to different parishes, to different schools. And there was kind of an almost invisible line between the two parishes. Where we were friends, but we didn't associate as much with the people who lived in the other parishes as we did with our own. And I guess that's part of growing up in Ireland.
Very good.
But went to the CBS in Roscommon. I worked in O'Connor's, which is now Heaton's, and I didn't pay attention the last time I was in town, if Heaton's is still in town.
It's actually not. I suppose DV8 is now where it was on Main Street, and there's Sports World, which is where it was in the kind of big kind of park there near next to Aldi and that. So Heaton's is unfortunately gone from the town.
Well, unfortunately, the last time I was home was 2 years ago, and I was only there for 5 days.
Yeah.
And before that, it was 12 years since I was home.
Okay.
So with the 5 days, I didn't get to see too much of Roscommon town, even though my sister lives in Roscommon.
Oh, right, exactly.
They were having a big celebration in O'Hara at the time, and it took up a lot of the time. So I didn't get to see too much. But getting back again to Roscommon, I worked in O'Connor, and then for 8 years I wrote for the Roscommon Champion from America.
Very good.
So I'm really stuck in Roscommon, and I write a lot of poetry. I have a page on the computer where I have 450 original poems that I've written, and I write one every day.
But
I wrote one many years ago about Roscommon town, and I'm always writing poems about the Roscommon football team. As a matter of fact, a year or two ago, when they did so poorly in some of the games, and I think everybody wanted to kill them or name them, I wrote a poem which appeared in the People, which calmed everybody down, saying how much they had accomplished when we expected. So I've written poems about O'Hara. I've written poems about Kiltoom. I've written poems about a leprechaun who supposedly lives in O'Hara. And even though I'm far away in America, there's actually 1 foot still in Ireland, I would guess. And the fact that I'm doing the Irish radio program keeps me in touch. I always have the sports results on a Sunday. And I also have a page on Facebook where I keep the sports results. So if somebody ever wants to find out who won the game between Galway and Mayo on June the 16th, they go to my page and there it is. I don't think the GAA does that.
Yeah, I suppose with social media and that, I suppose it's hard to keep track of everything, and it's nice to have a one-stop shop for all the results that there is.
I've been on the radio here for 40 years. This is my 40th year. And as I kiddingly said to people, I'll keep doing it until I get it right.
That's an ultimate pro there, Tony. That's what we're all like in here as well. I'm intrigued with yourself, Tony, how you wound up in New York and up on the radio there as well.
I've always been writing. I had my first poem published in the Champion when I was only 17 years old, and I've still been at it. Then when I came here, I started writing for the Champion. And I was at work one Saturday listening to another Irish program, and this young American kid, 16, 17 years old, who worked with me, he said, "Is that what they're putting on here for Irish programming?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I've heard you do interviews." And he said, "Why in the name of God aren't you on the radio?" And 40 years later, here we are.
Very good. And do you find that it connects then the Irish people over in New York, that they kind of have something of home, I suppose, as well, to listen into on their station?
It's unbelievable. When I lived down in Nassau County, I had a program down there, which I started 40 years ago, and it's still on the air. I started off with a half an hour, and now it's 5 hours. And it's in one of the universities, and it's a community station. And the people have to support it. Each year, we would run a fundraiser for them. And what we accomplished for that station, other stations today look at me and say, are you serious? We used to raise $15,000 in one day for them.
Wow.
And the program that I started then is still raising money for that station. And it's still the number one fundraising program for that station. But I find that unbelievable. I mean, I'm not a young person. And I remember when we had Radio Éireann. And at night we would turn on Radio Luxembourg or something to get variety. And here now in Roscommon and all the other little towns all over Ireland, you have these community radio stations that if they tell you it's going to rain or that it is raining, then it is. But if you listen to Radio Éireann, they tell you, well, the sun is shining in Dublin.
Exactly,
It certainly might not be shining in Roscommon, and it may not have shined in Roscommon for the last 3 days.
Yeah, exactly.
and yet, you heard that the sunshine is in Dublin, you know. So now, the same thing with the radio station that we have here. This radio station that I'm on right now is only 9 years old, and I was there from day one. You know, we're bringing things to the people that's important to them, you know, like weather and an accident. So the local radio station is important, and I'm sure to Roscommon people, they find out things and that happened. And I'm sure Roscommon is a very historic town, like the jail and the woman hangman and all those other things that we heard about. I'm sure that maybe you cover those things, or a person listening in and say, wow, I didn't know that. So and it is important that Roscommon keep a radio station, and that we don't go back to the old thing again of just Radio Éireann. Back in the 80s, I was on a pirate radio station in Mullingar, and at that time, there was very little Irish music on any of the radio stations, and I understand that has changed, that now the community radio stations are putting on Irish music.
Yeah, well, there's that too, but I think it's also easier for kind of up-and-coming artists to go to a community radio and maybe sit down for an interview, whereas if they're on the more bigger stations, everything is timed, and it's all, I suppose, with regards, you know, the sales aspect of it and the advertising and what kind of music suits that hour of day, whereas community radio is a bit more flexible and can facilitate someone up and coming, that they can come into the studio, they can do, like, I know, in fairness, we have a guy here called Jerry Jago, and he's all about Irish music in terms of, you know, bringing guys into the studio and having maybe an hour show just dedicated to talking about their life story and how they came to be. And it's really nice when that happens.
Well, the Irish entertainers always toured America and back to Brendan Shine. I remember Brendan Shine being here in America in the late 60s, and all the other bands, the Wolf Tones, and the Wolf Tones became famous in America, and so did the Dubliners. And back to Roscommon again, you have the Solistus Choir there, who recently did a tour of America, and which I was involved with here. I was the MC at one of their concerts.
Oh, very good.
There was great pride from Roscommon people to have them here. And of course, I met Orla Layden and surprised her very much. She had no idea I knew who she was. And of course, I went to school with her uncle.
Oh, right.
I worked with her father, and her uncle lives here in America. And she was really surprised. And I know that she has talked to you people, and she's 100% behind this move of me having.
Exactly.
Having an association with the station. But I knew, as I said, I knew her father and her uncle. And as I said, her uncle lives out here. So I'm still very involved in Roscommon, and I still am a big booster of the football team. And I hope that before I die, they'll win another All-Ireland, because they've never won one in my lifetime.
To be honest, Tony, that's all our sentiments here in Roscommon as well. And I suppose there's a little bit of uncertainty at the moment because they're looking for a new manager.
I saw that, yes.
So we'll have to wait with a bated breath now who they will get. I suppose the latest reports is that they're looking for someone outside of County Roscommon to manage the team. So look, I don't know. And like at the end of the day, the championship will be starting up soon next year, and they've got the league and they're in the Division One, which is a great, great boost, I suppose, as well. But, you know, I suppose they need to get their team on board again. And I know there's a few people that have retired from the team or they've got other commitments. So we'll just have to wait and see now about next year. But I do think, like, we had the county final there on Sunday, and Clandegale and St. Bridget's, two very great clubs in the county, and they produced a very good game of football, very entertaining game of football. And I suppose it was one of the best kind of matches I have watched now in Dr. Hyde Park. So, you know, we do have great potential there with young players and very experienced players as well. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see now if there's an All-Ireland in them. But I'm sure there is.
Yeah, well, I think, but it was a little one-sided, wasn't it? Clonay won it rather easily.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that Donny Shine was playing for Clonagale, and I hope to see him back on the Roscommon team, and that whatever problems are of him playing are ironed out, because he certainly was a great player and still is, I would assume. He certainly scored a few 10 points or something on Sunday.
You see,
I'm following it.
Yes, you're very good. We could nearly get you on as a sports correspondent, Tony. But in terms of, I suppose, I'm intrigued to know, like, you know, over in New York where you are, and of course you have the show there, do many people, let's say, just even from the Roscommon area, approach you about your show, or, you know, who are living in New York? Or what's the connection like over there with the Irish community?
Everybody in the Catskills, it's hard to understand the Catskills if you're living in Ireland. It's a community, an area, a town, little town, where there were a lot of Irish bars at the moment. But at 10, 20, 30 years ago, there were maybe 15, 20 bars in a little town that Knockrockery is bigger, but East Durham is stretched out. You know, the bars may be a mile apart or so. But at one time, they were rather close to each other. But it's still a very strung out area. It's over, let's say, 4 or 5 miles of a road. Well, unfortunately, the bar that was further away from the town, the owner passed away and it's no longer open.
Okay.
So it's very, very concentrated. There's one restaurant, there's one liquor store. In the main town, there's only one bar, one liquor store, post office, and a restaurant. But then it's stretched out. So a huge amount of Irish people from different counties live in the area. And it's a mixing pot. When you say America is a mixing pot of other nationalities, East Durham is a mixing pot of other counties. So there's people from Donegal and Derry and all the other counties living there. And we all consider ourselves Irish. And we, of course, when you're slagging or whatever, we may be more parochial or county organized. Of course, every county has better football players than the other.
Yes.
everybody wants to beat Kerry, and everybody wants to beat Dublin. But we are an Irish community. And while I do know, you know, many people from Roscommon, North and South, and Roscommon is a big county, so we have a lot of people here. But it's very Irish, more than any particular county.
Okay.
And all of them support my radio show, you know, and they all listen to it, along with the Irish Americans as well. And sometimes I'm very surprised, or somebody comes into my store and he starts talking about my radio show. And I say to him, well, are you Irish? And he says, oh, of course I am. My grandmother is from Westmeath or Dublin or whatever. And they consider themselves as Irish as the people who come from Ireland, because they when they were young, they went to Gaelic Park in the Bronx, some of them played football, or some of them plays an accordion or banjo, or sing in a band, or they go dancing to the Irish places. So it's a mixing pot. And anybody who comes here for a week or two are always surprised at the amount of friendship that exists in the community. You know, we all kind of love associating with somebody from Ireland that keeps the roots deep and keeps us in touch with Ireland.
Yeah.
And when the musicians come here, you know, like the Coldest Call Tory Aaron, while they don't get a packed audience, they get a certain amount of people who go to see them. And the same with the bands. We're not too many bands come out from Ireland anymore. But during the summer, we have an Irish Arts Up week up here. And then there's bands here from Ireland. And you may see, some famous accordion player or some famous tin whistle player. Mary Bergen is always here every summer. I'm sure people may know who she is. She's a great tin whistle player from Dublin. But numerous other people are here as well. So it keeps the Irish, there's an expression, keep the tradition alive.
Mm.
There's as many young children here playing accordions and guitars or violins, probably as there are in an area the same size in Ireland. Although I know that the youth of Ireland, I'm very gratified with seeing that there's women playing football and that it's an important and that they're supporting or getting the children involved in the things in Ireland too. It's also great here what they're doing to keep the tradition alive. You get me talking, it's hard to shut me up.
No, but that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Yeah. But I'm just intrigued to know then, I suppose, how did you end up in New York, Tony?
I was working in Cleary's. I worked in O'Connor's, who went out of business. Mm. And then I was working in Cleary's in Dublin. And my aunt and uncle, who I had no relatives in Ireland until the early 60s, when my aunt and uncle, who lived in Rahara, moved to America. He had brothers and sisters here, and they sponsored them out. And then they sponsored me, well, my sister first, who has since come back and is living in Roscommon Town.
Mm-hmm.
They sponsored her out first, and then they sponsored a cousin of ours, Annie Fallon, who I think is maybe living back there in Roscommon now. And then they sponsored me, and later they sponsored my brother. Mm-hmm. So that's how we got here. I was lucky enough, the war was on in Vietnam at the time, and I didn't get selected for the army. I only have one eye, and they wouldn't take me. So I succeeded in getting a pretty good job, and while I still missed Ireland very much, the money certainly helped here, and I quickly purchased a house, and of course I had a car, and these were things that I didn't have in Ireland.
Mm.
I'm here since, and that's the reason why, economic reasons.
Yeah.
Working in Dublin in 1965 was not very productive. I think I was making about £12 a week, and then there was some money taken out for taxes or health program or whatever. And there wasn't great prospects at the time that I would ever be able to save up enough money to buy a house. And I doubted £12 a week the bank would give me a mortgage.
Mm.
That was the reason. And at that time in Ireland, there was not a great amount of prospects. There were people, I didn't finish high school. And there were people who finished high school, and I'm working for 3 years, and they graduated from school, and they didn't get a job. They were waiting for a bank to give them a job or to join the Garda Síochána, which at that time was a dream for some people to join the police department.
Yeah.
Like people from around Roscommon who were sons of farmers. They didn't expect to become accountants or, well, maybe they could, but there were very few prospects. There wasn't a lot of openings, and there was many people to fill the opening. When I applied for a little job in O'Connor's in Main Street, which only paid 15 shillings a week, there were 13 or 14 people applied for the position, and we actually had to do a test to see who would get the job, and I succeeded in getting the highest total because I'm very good at arithmetic, so I guess that got me through the test.
Very good.
But to say that there was 14 people looking for a job that was only paying 15 shillings a week was unbelievable. I forgot to mention Liam Byrne, who was one of the singers on the Solistus Choir. I recorded a song of mine called Rahara Rose. I don't know if you've heard it yet, have you?
No, I haven't as of yet, no.
Yeah, well, we'll put it on one of the programs so that you can hear it.
Very good.
And also, I don't know if it's still making headlines over there, the chipper van in the Crockery, the fish and chip van.
Yeah, it hasn't been in the news now as of late, but I know it was earlier this year, all right, yeah, for a few months.
Yeah, well, the last correspondence I had with them, there was a court case which they were hoping they would win and be able to stay open. But I also became involved in that. I wrote a poem about it. And Liam Byrne also recorded that. And we got a huge response from that on social media, on YouTube and Facebook. We got over 3,000 hits on it,
wow.
Which for a little poem about a little town, about a little fish and chip van, was quite a substantial amount of hits on it.
Yeah.
So there's another thing that I'm still involved in that's happening in Ireland.
Do you know what? It's great from what you're saying there, Tony, is that even though you're over in New York, you're still actively involved in following everything that's going on here in Ireland and especially in Roscommon.
I am. I'm still definitely involved in Roscommon. And of course, my sister lives in Roscommon.
Yeah.
I have a brother who lives in Kiltoom, and I have a brother who lives in Westmeath. And we're all on Facebook, and we send little messages back and forth to each other. And Loughwinchina, you know, the lake up in Rahara, Corriboy, St. John's area that flooded there last year, I became very involved in that too. I wrote a poem about it. And of course, I read some articles in news media about the Lake Frinchino going dry, which I was there when it went dry two different times in 1958 and 1997. And somebody was interviewed and he said the lake was there 1 minute and the next minute it was gone. Gone. And of course, that is so untrue. While the lake does disappear, it takes about 8 or 10 days to go down.
Yeah.
But somebody believed him that it, when this huge big lake just was there 1 second, and the next second it was gone. And I became involved in writing that wrong, and I wrote a poem about it. And the poem is quite popular. If you go on YouTube or any of these places, or Google. My poem is on page one about disappearing lakes in the world. So there's another thing that I became involved in. So anyway, that's a little bit of the story of my life.
That's great. And I suppose finally then, Tony, can you tell our listeners, I suppose, a little bit about the show that we'll be broadcasting on a Tuesday evening from 5 o'clock to 7? Just so
I do it here in America, 8 o'clock on a Sunday night. And I don't know how many engineers you have there or how many people are involved with running a show, but I'm the only person in the studio when the show is put on, unless I have guests.
Yeah.
I run the whole station. I'm an engineer and an announcer and so on. And it's basically sometimes I use YouTube and get songs from Ireland. But I have a huge collection of records that I've accumulated over those years.
Yeah.
And some of them from the north of Ireland that probably did not become very popular in the south and certainly not in America. When I was home in Ireland, in Dublin, I used to pick up those records from outlets and some of those record companies. So basically, it's a two-hour program of Irish music for the first 90 minutes and old country music from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. I will not go past the 80s. I don't play anything newer than the 80s. And the Irish music is a combination of American artists who play Irish music, or Irish Americans, or Irish who are living in America. And some music from Ireland as well. Of course, the music that we'll be playing by the Irish artists would be Irish songs like Moonlight and Mio, and some of the old songs, Rebel songs, Sean South of Garryowen, and so on. And a certain amount of jigs, reels, horn pipes, and polkas as well. And that's basically it. Then I have sports results. I frequently read some of my poems on it, And if I find an unusual poem by some other artist that's Irish, I will put it on.
I guess I could
say that, you know, Big Tom and some of those other people who sing Irish style country music. I play a lot of them, Brendan Shine and numerous other artists. And sometimes because of the availability of YouTube, I may be playing an Irish song that was recorded, yes, that was released yesterday or the day before. And I may be playing it here in America before it's being played in Ireland. My program is on the internet, of course, and can be heard in numerous countries. And I do have a certain following in Ireland. Sometimes I get calls here at 8 or 9 o'clock at night, which is 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm very surprised to hear that somebody up in Donegal or Tuam or Kerry is listening to my program. Mm. And they ask me, do you have such and such a song? I haven't heard it here in years. Maybe you could play it. And I do, if I have it.
Great.
So that's basic. And I always have the sports results. Always have the sports results.
Well, I'd say you'll have most of the county then listening to you here on Ross FM as well. And that's great. Well, look, Tony, thanks a million for taking the time out to kind of take this interview. And of course, we'll be looking forward then to broadcasting your show. So your show then goes out on a Sunday night, but we'll be broadcasting here on a Tuesday evening here on Ross FM. So looking forward to it now.
Okay, well, thank you for the interview. And if this interview is going to be on the air, I want to say hello to Sean Doyle and to Sean Nocton, who both went to school with me in Rahara when we were all young.
Okay, well, look, thanks a million, Tony. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.